sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim. Christ is born. Today, are you ready to give glory to a mighty God? Sing this. Sing glory to the King. Glory to the King, yeah. Glory to the King. Glory to the King.
God's house today to celebrate Jesus. Aren't you glad to be in church today? Amen. How many of you were here last night? I am telling you, if you have not seen it, if you have, you need to be here tonight. I think it was our best Christmas family celebration that we've had. Paul and Heather have done amazing. You need to come tonight if you haven't called a couple people. I want you to call them this afternoon and bring them, because they leave knowing about the real reason for Christmas. Amen. And it's Jesus. We have two reasons to celebrate today. I'm gonna go over here because I don't want to see the person in the front row glaring at me. What I should have done is had like a spotlight. He would have loved that. It is Pastor's birthday today. And I really am. You know how Pastor sometimes when he preaches, he overlooks me in those moments? I'm just like, and it feels so good. So I want you to just say, you want to sing? Are you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, go ahead, Heather. I'm going to get you. So it's all good. It's all good. Pray for me this afternoon. I was thinking this morning that we have such an amazing staff here at Charleston Church. And I was thinking last night, all the volunteers that made this look and every part of it, from the very beginning to that thing on the floor, which was hilarious to me. Every part of it from our volunteers, we are so blessed at this church. And I do want to say that I appreciate who God has chosen to lead this church. So I'm trying to suck up to so it won't be so bad. Moving right along, if you're a visitor or a guest, we want you to know we are so glad that you're in the house today. We want you to take the connection card and the seat back in front of you, and we want you to fill it out and put it in the offering. We are so happy you're at our church, and everybody needs a good church, amen? And if you bring a guest tonight, this is our secret. Please have them fill out a contact card or have them text, because we want to connect to them. They got to hear the gospel last night and they left with some hope. Amen? Amen. So be here tonight at 5, and we are here to celebrate Jesus. So in whatever way you want to do it, I raise my hands because the Bible says lift holy hands. So this is our worship time. This is the time where we can just focus on not the presence, not being done, not all of that stuff, but the one thing that came to change everything. So today, let's just, even before they start, let's just worship. Let's raise our hands or however you want and just say, God, we ask you to be in this house today. We celebrate you today. I pray in the name of Jesus that not one person will leave the same, that you'll heal, you'll deliver, you'll save. I pray that every person leaves with the hope of Christmas today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Done for me, we cry worthy,
sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King. Oh, if you believe it, shout, sing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered, you conquered the grave. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. You would take my place and bear my cross. You've done for me, hey. All that you've done for me, hey. All that you've done for me, all that you've done for me, oh, hey. You've done for me. Come on, someone give him a mighty praise for all he's done, for all he's gonna do. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, no, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, so out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, not one, none like you. Come on, let's declare together what he is. Come on, say, our God is great. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh. Darkness, you shine. Ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Hey, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than ever. Higher than any other. God, your best praise. Your best praise you've got in your heart. Because he's a big, powerful, awesome God. And he's for you today. Hey, come on, shout. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
And if our God is with us, then what
could stand again? Oh, come. Stronger, God, you are higher than ever, than any other. today. Oh, come and be glad today. Hallelujah. Coming, Lord Jesus. We believe something big is coming. Jesus.
There's a breaking. It's in my favor. There's a shifting. In my direction. Oh. There's a breaking. It's in my favor as I pray.
Come on, let's get on board with this and believe it.
There's a breaking.
It's in my favor.
Yes, there is. In my favor.
Oh, there's a shifting now. Oh,
there's a shifting
in my direction.
I think we ought to give God the greatest praise of the year. Come on, right here. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever. Worthy is the Lamb. Come on, worthy is the Lamb. Is God worthy of praise? Then praise Him. Amen. Glorify God in this place. We honor You, God. There's no God besides You. You're greater than everything that we face today. We praise and magnify You in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're standing, I want the board members to come and join me. We're going to just worship God together in communion this morning. And to make this a little bit more special, our church in Sullivan, you know we are two churches, and the Charleston Church Down East Church is joining us live right now, and they're going to take communion with us. And you say, well, where are they? I mean online. I pointed back and a few people were like, well, I don't see that. Sorry, that's my bad. I should have explained. They're watching online and they're taking communion at the same time we're taking communion. So we're going to celebrate together. I'm so grateful that those that are here are not all of us in the body of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people other than you that are serving God. There are people other than our denomination, if you would, our gathering. Do you know that there are people that are Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, Catholic, Nothingarians? Those are people who deny they're anything, but they take pride in the fact that they're not a part of anything. They are something to themselves, not to be messed with. But in other words, there are people bought by the blood of Jesus all over the planet today. And gathered around the world today, it seems like in every nation, people rise up at the birth of Christ and celebrating Jesus' entrance into the earth. And so we're not just taking communion here, not just with those that are joining with us online, but people all over the world, some at the risk of their own lives. I think that we ought to thank God we have liberty and freedom to worship God today in this great nation and to honor Him this way. So they're going to lead us in worship. Those of you that are joining us in Sullivan, you go ahead and get ready. We're going to take communion together. Heavenly Father, we pray Your blessing as this Christmas celebration continues by honoring Your birth, but we also honor Your life, Your death, burial, and resurrection. God, I pray that when people take these elements that are symbols of Your sacrifice for us, that bodies are healed, minds are restored, hearts are mended, hopes are regained, faith is growing, God. I pray that something miraculous will happen as we are reminded of You, our victorious Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and worship, and we'll hand out the elements in just a minute.
Let's have a meal. Help me reveal who I am. I'm Your Savior. I will bow down, wash all the sin from Your soul. I'm Your servant. I am all You need. I'm the lamb that was slain, and my blood washes You clean. I'm the pure sacrifice. Let my life give You life. I'm the Lamb.
All right, now, folks, you hang tight. We're coming to you. You don't have to leave. You can stay right there. You folks in this section, if you come down this aisle, you folks in the front rows, you've done this before. Go ahead. Show them the way. Show them the way. Show them the way. Just come right into the center. Come this way. You say, I'm over here. Come into the center. Come right down here, and we'll be happy to serve you. If you see somebody that can't get out of their seat, then maybe you can help them. If you can't get out of your seat, we'll come to you. Be patient with us. All right? Go ahead. Let's worship. We cry worthy, we cry worthy.
us clean. You're the pure sacrifice. Let your light give us life. You're the lamb that was slain, and your blood washes us clean. You're the pure sacrifice. Let your love give us life. You're the Lamb.
You chose to the highest mountain. To the Lord's valley, it's your blood gives me strength from day to day. Never lose its power.
For you chase to the high. Flows to the lowest
valley.
For it's the blood that gives me strength
from day to day. It will never leave its
mouth. Oh, for it
reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. To the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will
sure that everybody's been served. If there's somebody that hasn't been because they couldn't get up, I want to make sure that they have been. You don't have to stand. I just want to make sure that everybody's been served that wants to be. All right. Let's take the cracker that represents the body of Christ. Those of you there on the coast and those of us here, aren't you glad that God didn't send His Son in an invisible form, but gave His Son a body? A body in one way like ours that He could feel, pain and suffering and affliction, but yet a body unlike ours because it had never experienced sin. And when that sinless sacrifice, by the way, the first time ever a sinless sacrifice was ever made, when the Father saw that, said, "That's what I've been looking for all the while. All the efforts of mankind, all of their religious philosophies and religious activities have never satisfied me. But when God from heaven looked down and saw a sinless sacrifice, He says, there, that's what I've been looking for. And ladies and gentlemen, He took on His body your sin, your sickness, and He has given to you forgiveness and healing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ today. Whatever you need in your body, whatever you need God to do for you, whether it be, well, whatever it is, there's healing for it in the name of Jesus. Can I get a good amen for that right now? Lord, I pray for every person here and in Sullivan. If anyone is afflicted in their body, I pray when they take this representation of your body, that they will receive healing power because of our faith in you. Take and eat it all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, as an act of faith, begin to thank God for what He's doing right now. This isn't a religious exercise. This is an encounter with God. I thank you for healing bodies, healing homes, healing minds, healing hearts. Lord, there are people that are in this season, their heaviness, that they need comfort today. Bring comfort, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. May your presence increase, not only in this meeting now, may your presence increase in our hearts and our lives, Father. Let us end this year strong in faith. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. Amen. If you would take that cup, that juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, there's power in the blood. Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you've never been here before. I'm glad you're here. And it might seem gory, but you need to understand, that blood represents life. You lose your blood, you lose your life. And guess what? Jesus gave His life so that you could experience His life. Understand, that cup represents the new covenant, a fresh agreement. In other words, that cup represents the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Aren't you glad we don't serve a stale, elderly God who's barely getting by? He's an all-powerful God, and nothing is too hard for Him to do today. Amen? Amen. It's hard to lead Pentecostal people in worship when they've got their hands tied. I'm learning that right now. Like, you're trying not to spill the juice on your Christmas dress. I understand, so it's a little hard for us. But I'm glad today for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I have power in the valley. I have power on the mountain. I have power at Christmas. I have power at Easter. Come on, somebody. You have power that is bigger than you. And if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you drink this cup today, I pray and fresh anointing of God's power comes on your life and you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Somebody shout joy. The one thing our culture needs and lacks is good old-fashioned, spirit-filled joy. Amen. Come on, smile. Get yourself ready for it. Come on, smile. Get yourself ready for the glory of God. I've never found God working in frowned faces. But I've seen Him work in a lot of happy people. Now, don't make it hard for God. He can do a lot of things, but He can't make you smile. So go ahead, you do it. Smile. Show somebody your teeth or the ones you bought. Go ahead, smile a little bit. Now, I'm being silly for a reason. Don't force God to shoehorn joy in your life. How many are ready for joy, unspeakable and full of glory? It'll cure depression. It'll cure defeat. It'll cure mind problems. It'll bring strength. It'll heal your marriage. Joy, joy, joy. Lord, I pray when the people take this cup, they experience the joy of your presence. Wash away the pain and bring joy in right now. I decree and rebuke all depression and discouragement and depravity and addiction. Now, as we take it today, we receive the freedom of the Lord in Jesus' name. Drink it all, if you would. Praise the Lord. praise God. Hey, your hands are free. Go ahead and begin to praise Him like you want to. Amen. Hallelujah. Begin to praise Him. The blood. Go ahead and begin to praise Him. Right now, God will do something powerfully for you if you'll allow Him. Come on, allow Him. Allow Him. Oh, the blood. Come on. He gives you access to all you need. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's rejoice and praise God this morning. A big hand clap of praise and begin to thank God for what He's doing here today. You may be seated. You may be seated. Let's open our Bibles. We'll get an offering after I'm done preaching. Praise God. God bless you folks in Sullivan. Let the people know you love them down at Charleston Church down east. Thank you, man. Thank you. God bless you. We love you. I'll see you tonight. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew. No, go to Luke. I've been preaching so many Christmas sermons, I'm not sure where I am anymore. Luke chapter 1. Praise God. Luke chapter 1. I'll see you tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the end of the service, receive an offering for the Lord. But I can't help it. When we get in communion and worshiping and singing those songs about the life and the blood of Christ, I just have to preach. So I don't care what it does to the offering. I don't think it'll hurt it any. If we do it at the end. Praise God. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That's it. I don't want my birthday to overshadow Jesus. But He'll forgive you for doing that today. Just. How old am I? How old do I look? I'm 48 years old today. 48 years old. Not even halfway of where I'm going to be. I'm claiming 120. Some people claim 70, but 70 is the best you get if you're living in sin. Now, if you're going to use that scripture, use it in context. In context, the context said, because of sin, you can only ask for 70. Because of righteousness, I'm asking for 120. Unless, however, you sing happy birthday to me every Sunday, then I'll ask for less. I'm just teasing you. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. The book of Luke chapter 1. If you're there, say I'm there. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah, and he was the member of the priestly order of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. You're going to have to keep up with me back there, as I don't have that in front of me. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. How many of you know that being obedient to God has a timing to it? As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Verse 10. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Verse 12 says, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him, not Zechariah, you name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." And I would suggest to you, being filled with the Holy Spirit is always better than being filled with wine. Verse, if you haven't been there, you need to. I mean, filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I didn't know what that, I honestly didn't mean to sound that way. Verse 16, "And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will prepare people for the coming of the Lord." Wow, what a guy. Verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, I love this. Guys, pay attention to how Zechariah responds. "How can this happen? I'm an old man, and my wife? Well, she's well along in years." I'm not going to say she's old, but she's well along in years. And the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe it, you're going to be silent and unable to speak, and you can't even have your Facebook password until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. And they realized from his gestures that his silence meant that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. There's so many preaching spots here, it's hard to keep going. Later on in the scripture, we see it in verse 57 of Luke 1. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son, and her neighbor and relatives heard that the Lord had been merciful to her. Everyone rejoiced with her. Verse 59. When the baby was 8 days old, they came to the circumcision ceremony, and they wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." Verse 61. "What? There's no one in your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. This is miraculous. Remember, he's been mute the entire pregnancy, which probably is not a bad idea for any man to be, right? How many men have said the wrong thing before it was due? And he motioned for a writing iPad, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and what's the first thing he did? He began to praise God. Amen. I want to talk to you today, continue on this thought, that you're ready for this. We talked about the fact that sometimes God will ask or allow us to have or do something that we say, "I'm not ready for it." A couple weeks ago, how did Jesus handle that in his humanity? Last week, how did Mary handle that? Last night, we talked about the fact that sometimes we feel like it's too late for God to work. Our time is past, but that's not true. He's the God that will do it even when you think it's too late. How many are glad for that today? Tonight I'm going to talk about when you are full of fear. You know, 40%, they say 40% of Americans are struggling with anxiety right now. So I'm going to preach tonight. I can't wait to preach tonight. I want to see some more people get saved. You bring unsaved people tonight, they'll hear the gospel just like they heard it last night. People raised their hands and accepted Christ, and we prayed last night. You filled the auditorium. I want to say thank you very much for doing that. Let's do that again tonight. And I would encourage you, if you're going to come, you need to come early. Thank you, ushers and hospitality, for coming early, getting chairs set up. It's going to be a great night. Can you imagine being Zechariah when he's had in his mind that there's a certain way that God's going to do what he's going to do? I think sometimes we are prisoners to our own preference. What do you do when you say, "I need God to do something, but he's not doing it the way I want it"? I wonder how many people are watching today or are here today that you've been wanting to give your life to Christ. You've been wanting him to take the burden of sin off of you. But you have the scenario played out in your mind. I'll do it when. I'll do it where. I'll do it if this happens or if that happens. Well, what if today's the day that God wants you to lose the burden of sin and receive the gift of salvation? Are you going to let your preference rob you from what God wants to do next? I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life that I feel like I missed what God was doing because I was bound to my preference. I thought to myself, God, you'll have to speak to this person. You'll have to do it in this time. You'll have to do it that way. But I found out almost every time I tell God he's going to do it my way, he says, no way, I'll do it my way. And after every time he's done it, I found out his way wasn't better, it was best. So what do you pray when God says he wants to do something and he's not doing it the way you thought it should be done? Let's just be honest about it. That's what Zechariah was challenged with. Number one, this is your prayer. You can see it on the notes at cchurch11a.info. Number one, this is your prayer. Lord, position me. Lord, position me. Let me explain what that means. When Zechariah was in church, he was where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be. Let me say that again. He was where he needed to be, when he needed to be there, doing what he needed to do. One more time. He was where he needed to be, doing what he needed to be doing, when he needed to be doing it. I want us to be sensitive that you can miss God's miracle if you'll be ignorant to God's timing. Somebody's miracle could have happened today. Somebody's miracle could happen tomorrow. And if you're not sensitive to being where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, he may realize that if you get that miracle, it'll mess too many things up. God has perfect timing. But it's easy, ladies and gentlemen, for us to settle. It's obvious to me that when Zechariah went to church, like I've done, and maybe you've done, that sometimes it's easier to just settle with second best. Sometimes it's just easier to just say, this is the way it's going to be, a low level of anger, a low level of pain, my marriage will never be right, my family member will never come to church, I'll never have that ministry, I'll never have that miracle, and we will settle. We'll call it contentment, but it's really just waving the white flag. And Zechariah had to face this Sunday after Sabbath after Sabbath. How about that? Just to keep everybody happy today. You got to realize when Zechariah went to church, there was no worship like this. There were no instruments. There was no joy. There was no praise. It was constant dryness. And he just kept going. But you know, sometimes you just got to do the right thing. Well, I don't feel it. Who cares? I didn't feel like brushing my teeth today. Who cares? You just do. There's some things you just keep doing. And when he goes to church, he does what he's always done before. But he's where he needs to be, when he needs to be, and he's doing what he needs to do. And an angel appears to him. You know, Zechariah must have been kind of like, hey, listen, I don't need this. I'm settled. I'm satisfied. And maybe some good things have happened to you in 2018. But I don't know about you, but inside my heart, and I think there's a lot of people feel this way. Yes, some good things have happened, but not everything that I think God has in mind has happened yet. Is anybody here not a settler? I'm not settling for nothing. I believe that God's best is what we should expect. Amen. But when you've got to realize that when the angel came to Zechariah and he said, you're going to have a son. Well, I'm not sure. You're going to have a son. But I want you to name him something that you wouldn't. I want you to name him John. This is tough because it's very sentimental, especially in the Old Testament order, that a father would name his son after him. One, to give the son identity, but two, honestly, it became a sense of pride. This is my legacy. This is the extension of my life. And so when Zechariah finally has an encounter with God, the angel of God, he says, okay, my legacy is going to go on. The angel comes and says, oh, no, no, I'm not going to do it the way you thought. Ooh, what? No, no, no. I know you're sentimental about your name, Zach. But I want you to name him something different. And Zechariah's like, no, this is not the way I wanted it to happen. I'm not real sentimental. How many of you are sentimental? You consider yourself sentimental. You have emotional attachment to things. Some of you are like, how many of you are sentimental? Just admit it. Put your hand down. How many of you are married to somebody that's sentimental? Yeah, now I get the truth. I'm not sentimental about anything. Other than people, everything I own, I could throw it away. I know that grinds some people, but I get, every time I open the dumpster and I throw something away, I get a high. I get disposal high. Except one thing, and it's the weirdest thing. My wife and my kids make fun of me every year. It's the weirdest thing. The only thing I'm sentimental with are Christmas decorations. Christmas decorations. I've conceded on a lot of them. My preference on Christmas lighting are the ones that are the size of a softball that would burn a child's hand off if you touched it. Those are real Christmas lights. 75 heat lamps wrapped around a tree. That to me is a Christmas. This little stuff are backslidden lights. Have just enough form of a light, but that's it. They're backslidden, but I've conceded. The second thing I like is tinsel, hanging tinsel. The stuff that hangs around your house till August. I love that, but I've conceded. We had a dog, can't have cat kids. Not good for babies to swallow tinsel, I guess. The third thing that I prefer is ornaments. I'm really, really sentimental. My wife, there are ornaments that just paper, they're all folded up. Something the kids have made, something we've had for years. Someone in the church gave me one. It was a Steelers ornament. Just had to mention it. And so, I honestly feel sentimental about that. It's a weird, it's like, I don't know if it's even, maybe it's a disorder. But if you want to give me something that means something to me, give me an ornament that has the year or something particular on it. All right? Depends on what it is. I'll hang it on the tree. If not, I've got a space for stuff that I get that. So I just shouldn't have said that. But and he's sentimental. But sometimes, please hear, I want somebody to get a miracle. I want somebody to get saved. I want somebody to get their marriage fixed. I want somebody to get God so bad. But please, don't let your preference or your sentimentality rob you. What if God wants to use somebody else that you didn't think he'd use? What if he wants to do it in a way you've never seen it done before? Sometimes we get trapped. If God did it one way before, we want him to always do it that way. But God remains unpredictable. If he did it this way, if he wants to do it again, he can. But if he doesn't, how many would receive it if he does it in a way you've never seen it before? But that takes a positioning of the heart. And when Zechariah hears this, Zechariah says, no, you can't happen. And God zips his lip and says, until your heart gets right, you'll rob yourself of a miracle. Lord, the first prayer is position my heart so that I don't destroy a fragile miracle. The second prayer is this, do something bigger than me. The angel tells Zechariah, you're going to name him John, and not only is he going to come up in the lineage of the priesthood, what you haven't been able to do, John will. Zechariah, all you've been able to do is to keep the religious order going. But what John's going to do is he's going to affect a nation. Come on, somebody. I serve a big God today. I serve a big God today. Yeah, sure, Zechariah was obedient to do his part. But he was doing his part. But his obedience led to something that would not just do what he did, but something that would do bigger than he did. Every parent in this place doesn't want their child to do less than they do. Every parent in this place doesn't want their child to just do what they've done. Every parent wants their child to do better than they've ever done. I need you to hear this. We ought to pray that way whenever we're asking God to do something. We ought to get to the place that we stop asking God to do stuff for our benefit. We should start asking God to do stuff for everybody's benefit. The space shuttle Atlantis picture will come up. That's the last space shuttle flight that ever took place. Everybody, I think, is amazed at the space shuttle. I am. I think it's fantastic. It's just a part of our growing up, too, isn't it? To see the space shuttle take off on TV, at least. How many of you have ever saw it in person? How many were ever at a wow, several of you. I wish I could have been there. I'd like to have just heard the subwoofer off of those great power. Power. That's power. But you know something that's almost never glamorized on the space shuttle are those two rockets on the sides. Those two rockets are what gets the space shuttle 24 feet, 24 miles up in the air. They're 116 feet long, 12 feet in diameter. They contain more than 1 million pounds of solid propellant. They burn at 5,800 degrees, almost as hot as it is on the platform this morning. Generates liftoff at a thrust of 2.65 million pounds. They burn hot. They are the most energized rockets mankind has ever made. They only burn for 2 minutes. Once they get to 24 miles up in the sky, they detach from the space shuttle. They fall down to the Atlantic Ocean. Some inconspicuous boat goes out, picks them up, drags them back into shore. They clean them up. They refurbish them. And over the years have reused many of them. I've thought, Lord, let us as a church in our generation become like those rocket boosters. Because without the rocket booster, the space shuttle doesn't get into space. I want a miracle so that I can be a rocket booster so that people who don't believe in Christ will come to Christ. I don't want to be the center of attention. Let's stop praying God everything for my generation. Let's start praying God everything for our entire community. Lord, don't just do something that fills this building. Do something that affects our state. When you start asking God for blessing because you want people to be blessed, God will see you as a rocket. The South Choir aisle, there's a gravestone with the words of Charles Stanley on it that says, God buries his workers, but carries on his work. God buries his workers, but carries on. Ladies and gentlemen, you're 1 year closer to eternity. I'm not saying because of birthday stuff. I'm just telling you, you're 1 month closer to eternity. Look at me. If you could take it seriously, please do. Considering yesterday, you're 1 day closer to eternity. Every one of us are on fast track to eternity. And I don't want to be one of those people that just lived for me. When I die, I want something to be on the earth because I lived. Nate Saint was a great missionary to Ecuador. He was killed by the unreached people that he went to minister to. And I like to read this quote that I found from Nate Saint. Come on the screen. People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years that they've wasted. One thing that should never come out of the mouth of a believer is that it wasn't worth it. Something that should continually come out of your mouth and into your mind is that this life is worth living if it's lived for Christ. Moms and dads, I just feel a tremendous draw to some parents today. You've been paying the price. You've been doing your best. And sometimes things are not working out the way you think they are. But I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, however it works, let God work. Your child will be saved. Your marriage will be healed. Your grandchild will serve God. Don't quit because there's a life to come. And lastly, not only should we pray position me, not only should we pray do something bigger than me, but lastly, let it start with me. Somebody say that with me. Let it start with me. When God starts doing something supernatural in our lives, we have the habit of contextualizing, comparing our lives with our family. How many of you here today, let's just be real honest about it. How many of you need God to do something in your family? Just raise your hand. I need God to do something in my family. I need God to do something in my family. If you didn't raise your hand, I believe you. But maybe you did at one point, and you can relate with the people who did raise their hands. I need you to hear this. I would encourage you to pray more about it happening in you than it happening in them. Come on, shake your head. I don't know, you, Christmas spirit come on you or what right there? I don't know where you all went. I said you should not be praying for your family more than you pray, Lord, let it start with me. Lord, let something happen in me. Lord, let if you need your spouse to be strengthened, Lord, let me be a stronger spouse. If you need your children to have a miracle, may you begin to pray, Lord, make me a miracle parent. You are a gateway. You're the doorway into your business. You're the doorway into this church. You're the doorway into your community. You're the doorway into your children's lives. And you need to begin to pray like Zechariah said, allowing God, all right, you're not going to do it through somebody else. Do it through me. And the Bible says that when Elizabeth gave birth, brought out the baby, and all the family came around, all the neighbors came around with a baby shower, with little bibs with Z on it for Zechariah. I believe somebody came with a onesie that said ZJ, Zechariah Jr. I bet some smart aleck like Wayne Meserve came by with a hat that said ZZ Top on it. Everybody had their opinions about this boy. Come on, somebody. Everybody else had their ideas of what had to take place. And when everybody was saying, it's Zechariah, Elizabeth stood up and she said, no, I can be trusted with what God's doing. No, no, his name is John. The people, no, no, that's not true. The Father gets to name him. When Zechariah rises up, he gets out his writing utensil and paper and he writes J-O-H-N, John. The Bible says immediately when he finished taking his pen off the paper on the letter N, his voice came back to him. What was happening with Zechariah? Zechariah was saying, I don't care what people say. All I care is, however God wants to do it, that's what I want to take place. And heaven finally found a man that was submitted to God's plan. I want to ask some men today to make a commitment to make 100% submission to the plan of God. I know that we have ideas and sometimes things don't go the way we want. But I'm asking for fathers, men, teenagers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers to rise up and say, it doesn't matter what the culture does. It doesn't matter how people fail. I'm going to submit myself to the hand of God so that when God wants to work in my family, I'm not an obstacle, I'm an opportunity. Looking for some mothers that will rise up and say, I'm not going to try to fit the fads of the current culture. Which, by the way, the fads of the current culture are proving failure. And yet too many people repeat them because they think they've got to fit in with everybody. Not Elizabeth. She said, I don't care what you say about my children. God has a plan for my child. God has a destiny for him. His name is John, and he will be great. He's going to do God's work. And I got a new picture of worship today, and I'll be done. I got a new picture today as I was studying and praying. When Zechariah wrote John and his voice came back out, the first thing he did was he began to praise God. One of the first signs that you're locked into your preference is you lose your praise. One of the signs that you've locked in to say, God, you can only do it the way I've seen you do it before, you lose your praise. But you know what praise and worship really is? Praise and worship is saying, I know God's character. I know He does all things well. I know He's true to His promise. And when I raise my hands, when I clap my hands, when I sing, when I rejoice, when I cry tears of joy, guess what I'm doing? I'm saying, I agree with God. Amen. I know things aren't right. I know things aren't the way I want them to be, but I'm going to rise up and say, I believe that God does all things well, and I give Him the praise, and I give Him the glory, that He is the God that He said He would be. Is there anybody here today that says, I just want to praise Him that way? I want to thank God that everything He said will come to pass, and I don't have to understand it. I want every person that says, I want to submit to God's perfect, not will, only will, but perfect way. I want you to stand together with me right now and just begin to give Him thanks and honor today. Would you, however you do it, but just begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Here, just a few hours before Christmas, the final hours of 2018, and begin to say, I thank You, Lord, that everything You do right. You know what You're doing. God, I lay down my preferences. I lay down my requirements. And I say, Lord, I don't have to understand it. All I got to do is see it in the Word, believe the Word, and believe it will come to pass. Now, begin to praise Him. However you do it, right out loud. Right out loud, begin to thank God. You'll be amazed at what God will do if you'll simply agree with Him. Come on, begin to thank Him. I feel that heaviness that's in here. I feel that desire that's in here. And I feel that disappointment among some. But God wants you to know others have been this way. But it's not final. Come on. This disappointment is not a denial. This disappointment, God's going to work. He has a million ways to work if you just begin to let Him do it. Begin to praise Him. There's a shifting. Come on, there's a shifting right now as I praise Him. Do you believe it right now? Begin to magnify Him. Come on, church. I ain't playing games. We're not going through religious routines right now. As you begin to align your life with God's perfect will and God's perfect way, I'm telling you, there'll be a shifting that takes place in December 2018. Come on, begin to lift up your voice. I think it's too easy for you to just sing words off a screen. Let it come up out of your heart right now. God, I praise You. You're going to open doors that I never thought would open in 2019. You're going to make ways that I never thought You'd make in 2019. You're going to save people I never thought would get saved. Oh, come on. You're going to use us, Lord, like You've never used us before. Come on, give it about 45 seconds. I know it's Christmas, but I don't do tradition well. I do know how to get in a move of God, though. Come on, begin to thank God right now. That He's made the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I said the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. He will make a way for you. Come on, let your praise determine whether you're going to cooperate or you're going to be in prison to your preference. I'm waiting. I know it's not easy. I want it to be real, but somebody's like, you're struggling. You're just wrestling. No, I want it this way. But I'm telling you, if you'll take a step of faith and say, God, any way You want to do it, that's the way I want it. When that happens, you'll shoot a hand up in the sky. You'll open your mouth. You'll begin to praise God. And guess what? The burden will lift and a miracle starts making its way to your house in the name of Jesus Christ. That's it, church. That's good. Everybody in unison, begin to lift up and sing. Well, there's
a shifting.
This is a prophetic moment for somebody right now.
In my favor.
Come on, I'm telling you, I know the Lord. This is a prophetic motion for somebody's home. This is a prophetic shift for somebody's life. Healing comes in this. Miraculous provision comes in this. Door opening power comes in this. Come on.
There's a shifting in my favor as I pray.
I dare you all over this building, begin to sing it.
There's a breaking.
Marosukate.
In my favor.
I praise You, Lord. I praise You.
Oh, yeah.
I praise you,
there's
Lord.
There's a shifting.
I thank you, Lord.
Come in
thank
my
you, Lord.
Direction, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My direction. There's a
the people of God. There's a shifting. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord.
My direction.
It doesn't have to be my way. But Lord, let your will be done.
There's a breaking in my favor.
Come on, obey God.
As I pray.
Hey, there's a miracle in this house today. I feel it in my soul. That's going to end today. It's going to end this morning.
There's a shifting.
It's coming right here, right now.
Hey.
My direction.
I'm ready for the greatest move of God this morning.
There's a breaking in my
faith.
Children
are coming home. Bodies are being healed. Addiction is being broken. Generational patterns change today in the name of Jesus Christ.
In my favor.
Lord, turn some things around today.
There's a shifting.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
In my direction.
Claim that over your ministry. Claim that over your business. Claim that over your grandchildren. Claim that over your education. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lord knows best. I'm going to trust Him.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday, today, and forever. God, move in this place for your people. Move the walls. Move the barriers. Bring a miracle today. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Him, church. Magnify Him. Show God like Zechariah, I'm in alignment with your will. And I'm in alignment with your way. I'm not surrendering a dream. I'm not settling with this second place. I want the best. I want what God said He would do.
Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, do it in this place. From one side of the building to the other. All across this altar. If somebody needs a turnaround, as the Holy Ghost leads you, just make a move to this altar. We're not dismissing. Service is not over. God wants to do something in this place. You may see the result today. You may see the result next week. But the catalyst is when you decide, I'm going to take God's ways and I'm going to trust His ways. Now, everybody that would, find one person that's in this place. I sense they're just being drawn by God's Spirit. And God is saying, I'm going to work a miracle. And you don't know what they need, but God does. Would you come? I need one person with every person. Quickly come. Come on, church. We're not a standing church. We're a ministering church. Quickly come. There's more if you keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. That's good. That's good. Good, 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 good. Now find somebody that's nearby you right now, and we're going to have one big prayer time right here, all over this place. We're going to have one big prayer time. Find somebody to pray with back there. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Beautiful. Beautiful. If you want prayer, if you want prayer, this is your moment. You want to be where you need to be, doing what you need to do. Some folks, pray with this couple right here. Some folks, quickly come. Pray with this couple right here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come. All right. Have you got a prayer partner right now? I want you to begin to pray for the biggest thing that concerns you or them, and begin to right now say, Lord, we're lining up. However you want to do it, whoever you want to use, do it right now in the name of Jesus. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lay our hands upon the children of God today. The people in this altar tonight, today, have put themselves in a position. We put our preferences aside. We are determined today that we will not settle. We will not call it false contentment. It's false contentment. We will press until we see. We will pray until we see. We will worship until we see. Every family member serve you. Every co-worker serve you. Until every bondage is broken. Until every barrier is broken. Until every sin is destroyed. Until every argument in our minds is gone. Lord, we no longer want to fight and resist the work of your Spirit, but we want to cooperate with what you're doing. We want to cooperate with whatever your plan is in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody reach out for a miracle, God, to come into this place. Oh, Lord, do it, we pray. Remove every block. Remove every hindrance. In the name. Come on, there's glory when people pray. There's answers when people pray. That's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for God. I said nothing is too hard for God.
In my favor.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
There's a shifting.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In my direction.
Jesus.
There's a breaking in my favor as I pray.
Sing it, sing it.
There's a breaking in my favor.
God is moving all over this place. Give me some volume. God is moving all over this place. God, pick up the heavy burden. Jesus.
There's a breaking
in my favor. Let's praise Him now. Let's praise Him. I dare you. Begin to honor the Lord. Nothing's too hard for Him today.
There's a shifting in my direction.
In my direction.
There's a breaking in the favor. There's a breaking in my favor.
There's a breaking. In my favor,
well, there's a breaking.
It's in my favor as I pray.
there's a shifting in my direction.
In my direction, in my direction,
there's a breaking in my favor as I pray.
While people are praying, we could be as still as possible. The greatest change that could ever happen in a man or a woman's life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I felt from the beginning of the message that it is somebody's day. Again, if we could be as still as possible, this is the most important thing I'll do today. That it is vital that when God calls you, you respond. God is so good. But I'll tell you, He doesn't call infinitely. I read people who drown, they go down, they'll come back up. They go down the second time, they'll come up. But if they go down the third time, there's not a guarantee they'll come back up. And I tell you, if you lock your mind into, well, this has to change, and that's got to, when I'm ready, I'm going to tell you, ready doesn't exist. I said, ready doesn't exist. No, today's the day to get saved. Come on, help me, church. I said, today's the day to give your life to Christ. Not tomorrow, not next year. Today's the day. You're ready. Everything is set for you. God has ordained all this moment. Don't be one of those people that says, another time. You're not promised another time, but today's the time. I'm glad I can look back at the day, June 25th, 1990, I gave my life to Christ, and I'll never regret it. And if you're here today, and you say, I realize it today, Pastor, God's speaking to me that this is the day, I thought things would be different, but I realize right now, God's calling me to serve Him. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you don't have a walk with Him. If you're not ready for heaven, you need Jesus today. If that's you, I need you to just raise your hand up nice and high. Be bold. Don't be timid. Don't be scared. Don't be fear. Just say, I'm making this decision. I'm going to end this year strong because I'm ending this year with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Who are you? All over this building, I'm looking. When you put it up, you're going to have to leave it up there for a minute because I got to look left and right. If there's anybody that you see, I don't see their hand raised. I don't want to miss anybody. Today's your day. Today's the day. Today is the day. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to tell you why. I don't do this with everybody. You served God at one time and you thought this is the way it's going to happen. But understand, look, God in a moment's time can take you from knowing that I'm so far from where I need to be and put you immediately right where He needs you to be. And all that stuff that you're disappointed about, you just need to give it one more chance. How many are glad that He's the God that gives it one more chance? So we ought to give it one more chance. Let me just say a few things. I'm glad that God gave you a church that doesn't give up on people. We haven't given up on you. Secondly, you don't need to be put in that. Sometimes our preferences are so high that we say, I can't do this. I'm not worthy. Have you ever felt that way? I'm not worthy of that. The Holy Ghost is talking to you right now. I'm not worthy to do that. But the Holy Ghost says, stop it. The blood of Jesus makes you worthy of everything that He has for you. Okay? Now, making good decisions have good results. But it didn't matter. All the while you just kept thinking, this ain't working because I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. That's the devil. That's his oldest, rustiest tool. He's used it, but it's broken today in the name of Jesus. You become a child of God. You stay a child of God. And today, God is salvaging not only you, God is salvaging your family. I'm going to pray this prayer together. Let's pray this prayer together, saints. How many glad God would leave the 99 to find one person? One person. I need, this is an answer to my prayer. I've been praying for you. Okay? So that's why I just had to run myself. I've been praying for you. God is answering our prayers, and God's answering your prayers. Pray this way with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Please forgive me for getting away, getting distracted by my own preferences. Please clean me. Give me a brand new beginning. I can't do this on my own. I've tried. It doesn't work. Please give me a brand new start. My heart has grown distant, but today you fill my heart with your presence. I remove everything that blocks your will in my life. I make room for you to do miracles in my life, my family, and everybody I'm connected to. Clean me completely. The past is gone. I'm not living there anymore, for I have a brand new gift. It's a brand new hope and a brand new beginning. I end 2018 walking in your favor and in your forgiveness and in your worthiness. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray for this precious mom, this precious wife. I feel that hell has come against her home, but today hell has been kicked out in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel like demons have been trying to torment her, but demons have had their mouths shut in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel like pain has been the only thing, but peace is becoming the main thing in the name of Jesus Christ. And every ounce of ground that's been lost, I reclaim it now in the name of Jesus. Not going to take months, not going to take weeks. In the name of Jesus now, I pray the work of restoration takes place over her home, over her marriage, over her life. I thank you now. Things are shifting because you found a person that will be open to a miracle working power. And we give you thanks. Come on, church. Let's thank God for a soul restored. Let's thank God for a family with a new hope. Come on, you can do 100 times better than that. Begin to praise Him. Lord, I pray that you would touch this mind. Give complete peace in the name of Jesus. Do it, I pray. Pray with us.